Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, Happy New Year to you. It is, of course, the 31st day of the month. If you're just waking up this morning, you got a little bit of rain to deal with out the door. But don't you worry. It's going to get worse in 2025 because they're now talking about a polar vortex. I don't know if I said that dramatically or not. There's going to be cold weather coming. It's called the seasons, and it starts next week, apparently, with a little bit of snow and maybe some ice. And, well, wait a minute. It's January. We'll get all the weather reports and be in storm mode before long. Kim St. Ange, you feeling all right over there?
I feel fantastic.
I'm so glad to hear that. Kim is back with us. She had vacation last week and then caught the ick and then sort of near the end of it. And she's on the struggle bus a little bit this morning. Can you admit that?
A little, but that's what, I'm okay. I'm
you're
here.
You're doing good. I'm glad that you're here.
The flu is behind me.
Good. Good.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. You didn't bring it in the studio.
No.
I'm just kidding. We're glad you're back. We're glad you're feeling better. We hope little Easton had a fantastic Christmas.
Oh, he did. He had lots of planes, trains, and automobiles. That was the theme of this year's Christmas.
Yes, it's true. I was saying the other day that my granddaughter, Isabella, got a couple of different baby dolls and wants to try to feed all of them at the same time.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's pretty cute. And Ashton got his first gun, so to speak. Toy gun, by the way. Airsoft kind of gun. Just shoots one little dart at a time.
Tell her why you waited.
I waited. I've had this thing for 2 years. I bought it 2 years ago, but I knew his mother had to get him one first before I could give him one. So once I was over there one day and I saw him playing with this little airsoft pistol, I'm like, oh, I'm good. I checked with her. She was okay with it. So and he carries it with him everywhere, which is pretty awesome. He's open carrying his gun everywhere now.
Did you find it on Facebook Marketplace?
I'm having a good influence. No, I bought it at a gun show a couple years ago. I'm like, I need one of those. And I know the kid's only was only like one then, but I'm like, at some point, he'll be old enough to play with this, and it's going to be really cool. It's a little shotgun that breaks open, and the shell ejects out the back of it, and you load the little airsoft thing in it, and it shoots. It's awesome. Pretty awesome. Speaking of which, it is 2A Tuesday. We're going to talk to our friend Mark Walters coming up at the bottom of the hour. Happy to hear from Kim's reporting this morning that they've solved the problem we have every year of shooting guns into the air. We've outlawed it. So that ought to end that tonight. We don't have to worry about that ever again. All you have to do is pass a new law, and then the criminals immediately respect it. Don't you know? So we'll talk to Mark about that here at the bottom of the hour. We'll get to Kim on a whim before the hour is over. But right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We have someone who doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, this idea of, oh, you know, you're illegal and then you go out and have a child. It's not quite that simple.
Oh, that's the brain surgeon, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, attacking Tom Holman, which is never, ever a good idea.
What's your response to that?
Well, look, I forgot more about this issue than she'll ever know. I mean, I don't know who this lady is. Apparently, she's not real smart.
And he immediately fired back, which I love. Holman will take the world by storm, or at least the border, on January 20th.
I think that the die has been cast pretty much. But as I stated, I'll make up my mind on Friday, and like I'll talk to Mike some, and maybe President Trump even.
Yeah, there you have it. Representative Burchett, Congressman Burchett, there is a Republican who says now that Donald Trump has endorsed Mike Johnson, the die has been cast, and he's saying he will have enough votes to remain Speaker.
Okay, he's got to step aside. There's a lot of that chatter. This is about as bad of a performance in order to that Biden could have delivered in if his goal was to try to sort of calm the waters among Democrats. I mean, look, there, you know, one of the things was either.
This is bad. That was Chuckles Todd giving his analysis back in June 27th, to be exact. As if you joined us that night for the debate watch party that we hosted over Dave and Buster's, it was stunned silence in the room when Joe Biden started with his opening statement, and you could tell immediately that he had no idea where he was. And the fact that his aides, his handlers, who'd been covering this up for years, suddenly threw him to the wolves was one of my choices for the top story of 2024. I don't know how you get around that. I mean, obviously, Trump getting elected is huge. Trump being shot was huge. But now Joe Biden regrets having decided to drop out of the race, and he's blaming Merrick Garland for not being more aggressive with his lawfare toward Donald Trump. So I think that the shift in politics this year happened that night. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I think that was a very pivotal moment, and it was so wild to be watching that play out and knowing that this is going to have a huge impact. At the time, we didn't know what.
Well, we didn't know what, but what we did know was that the mainstream media that has been lying to us for years over Joe Biden's mental state got fully exposed. And we were asking the questions. For God's sake, Peter Ducey was asking the questions. They were making fun of him for it. Anytime you'd see Joe Biden stumble or whatever the case, it was a deep fake video. They're just trying to distract you with all of this. And then lo and behold, you get somebody like Claire McCaskill after the debate saying this.
I'm not the only one whose heart is breaking right now. There's a lot of people who watched this tonight and felt terribly for Joe Biden. And, you know, you have to ask, how did we get here?
We all know how we got here, Claire, because your minions in the mainstream media played along with the fake reporting. Remember the time in America, Kim, there was a time in America when this happened, and it was with a wink and a nod in the good old boy system, when JFK was sneaking women into the White House in the middle of the night for affairs, they all winked at each other and nobody reported on it, but they knew what was going on. They intentionally chose not to report that stuff to the American public. They just didn't do it. Just like they, with a wink and a nod, only took pictures of FDR from the waist up so nobody knew that he was confined to a wheelchair. I mean, it's been going on for years. It's a shame, but this is more dangerous. What happened this time was more dangerous. And then you finally, after all this time, and after the Democrats lost, what is the mainstream media sad about? They're sad about the fact that had they just reported the truth sooner, they might have been able to help the Democrats.
It's starting to emerge now that his advisors kind of managed his limitations. It's been reported in the Wall Street Journal for 4 years. And yet he insisted that he could still run for president. We should have much more forcefully questioned whether he was fit for office for another 4 years, which could have led to a primary for the Democrats. It could have changed the scope of the entire election.
Think about that. Just think about the fact. If we had just reported on this sooner, maybe we could have forced Joe Biden to drop out sooner and the Democrats could have held power. It's unbelievable, the lack of awareness.
Isn't that sad, though? I think that's the media's main gripe with why they are upset that they themselves didn't ask the harder questions. It's not because they feel like that is what you do as a journalist and that they dropped the ball, which they did. It's the fact that if we would have done that earlier, man, maybe we would have actually beat Donald Trump in November. We would have had somebody else besides Kamala Harris.
We should have exposed them sooner. Why didn't we do it? Because you're all part of the same cabal. That's why you didn't do it. All right, let's get to a quick break here. Twitter is afire this morning that Donald Trump has endorsed Mike Johnson to remain as Speaker of the House. It's the big story on this New Year's Eve, and we are going to talk about it with Ryan Schmelz from Fox News Radio right after this.
And I think it would be madness for the Republicans to engage in some prolonged speaker fight, given the fact that they've got a tiny majority. They want to get big bills done to get them on the president-elect's desk when he walks in the Oval Office in 3 weeks' time. But having said that, the majority is very fragile. It only takes one or two Republicans to hold out, to try and get a concession, sometimes on budget issues. So Trump's endorsement, I think, is very important. But we saw in the way that the year-end spending deal blew up just before Christmas how difficult this is going to be for Republicans this year.
Yeah, I don't think he's wrong. That's a guy over on CNN named Stephen Collinson who's pointing this out. I think it's kind of telling that so far, I think it was Thomas Massie from Kentucky is the one congressman that I've seen stand up and say that even with the Trump endorsement, he still won't vote for Speaker Johnson. That he I think what he referred to him as is the next Paul Ryan. Like, Ryan came in saying he was going to do good things and immediately started working with the swamp. So I do think that you've got, what, two votes that you can lose? Maybe?
Yes. And Massey's now a no.
Massey says he's a no. Do they get him into Trump's office and say, listen, here's what has to happen? I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that. I've seen obviously Bannon and other people who are really hacked off at the fact that Donald Trump has done this. But it's transactional. And that's kind of where I think people need to be a little bit reasonable with this. There is nobody that I know that is more anxious to get a conservative agenda enacted than me, certainly not than a lot of the conservative caucus members of the House, Eric Burleson and these other folks. But I think they do realize that there are some political realities that go on in Washington, D.C. Ryan Schmelz from Fox News Radio is joining us live, and he's been covering this story this morning. Ryan, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you, Mark?
Doing well, thank you. And just, you know, waking up this morning to the news that Donald Trump had come out and given a full-throated endorsement to Mike Johnson just a week after he killed the continuing resolution deal that Johnson helped put together.
Yeah, the complete and total endorsement, certainly a positive sign for Speaker Johnson, but I would not say he's out of the woods just yet. You know, you have Thomas Massie from Kentucky who has already, I believe, said that he's still going to be a no on Speaker Johnson despite Trump's endorsement. And there's a number of other members who, you know, still want to see certain changes or certain commitments from Johnson before they vote for him, you know. And there's still others like, I think you just mentioned, Eric Burleson from Missouri, who we're still watching and kind of waiting to see what he's going to do on Friday.
Yeah, I don't know how quickly we get the answer to that. I think that even among some of those people who are what members of the House Conservative Caucus,
the Freedom Caucus,
the Freedom, it's in Missouri they call it the Conservative Caucus, the Freedom Caucus. I think that they will. I think they'll see the logic here. I'm hoping they'll see the logic here because I just said, you know, I get a lot of heat as a conservative talk show host when I say things like that. But you have to realize you're not going to be able to get anything done to get to the president's desk if you're in the middle of a speaker fight.
Yeah, and also keep in mind, too, you know, we don't have another candidate right now. We don't know if anyone else would be interested in the job. And they certainly probably have people who would be interested, but, you know, maybe none that are going to get the votes that Speaker Johnson would get. And like you just said, you can't do anything until you have a Speaker of the House. And they've got to certify an election on January 6th. If they don't have a Speaker, that could get delayed. And, yeah, there's this big argument that a lot of Republicans are making that they they want to have some bills ready for President-elect Trump to sign almost the minute he gets sworn in later in January. So you can't really get started on any of that until you have a Speaker of the House.
Yeah, I think timing actually is in Mike Johnson's favor, because I think about what played out with Kevin McCarthy. And while I understand what Matt Gaetz did and why he voted to oust him, I felt the timing was off. And then look what transpired because of that, how long it took to find a new speaker.
Oh, exactly. You know, they want to do what's called the appropriations process, which is passing 12 individual spending bills that on different parts of the government. That was one of the things that was frustrating for Gaetz about McCarthy. But even after he ousted McCarthy, it took them so long to select a speaker that it made it impossible for them to get those appropriations bills done. So they're trying to get that done this time. But look at it this way. This time they have a government funding deadline that's set for March. So they've got to deal with that. They also have to deal with the debt ceiling the minute they get into office. So the workload that has been put on this upcoming Congress is even more so than you would get with a typical Congress. So just the workload, I think, like you just said, I think is also working in Speaker Johnson's favor.
Yeah, very true. Listen, Ryan, have a great new year, my friend. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Hey, happy new year to you. Thank you so much.
Yep, we'll talk soon. That's very true. And it's possible that even I didn't look far enough into the future. I know that's hard to believe. In saying that they probably should have shut the government down instead of agreeing to something short term, because you have January 3rd, and then you have January 6th. So Congress gets sworn in on the 3rd, and then they're supposed to go into session to approve those electoral slates 3 days later. If you're in the middle of a battle over funding, and you don't have a speaker, if either of those things are up in the air at that point, that could be a potential liability for the incoming Trump administration. So you can kind of see what his motivation was here. But hey, guess what? We've solved the gun issue in St. Louis by passing a new law, apparently. We'll talk it over with Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio, after the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned.
Today, St. Louis City officials speaking out about the dangers of celebratory gunfire as we approach New Year's Eve. Every year, people fire guns in the air and hundreds of calls are reported to police. Following your size, Justina Cornell is in studio now with a message coming in from those city leaders. Justina.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, joined by the one and only Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio. Mark, welcome in, my friend. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, brother.
You know, we got a little problem down here in St. Louis. I don't know how they do it in Georgia. But on New Year's Eve, a bunch of these idiots go outside with probably illegal handguns and long rifles, and they fire them into the air to celebrate on New Year's Eve. And of course, what goes up must come down. And every few years, if not every year, people get injured by this. It's stupid. But we've decided that we've now passed a law against it. So I'm expecting all of that to end tonight.
Oh, yes. Did the law pass?
It did. Yeah, there's now a law. It's called Blair's Law because of somebody in Kansas City that got killed by a stray bullet in 2011. So now we know that since it's illegal, criminals will pay attention.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. The law passed and that won't happen again.
Yeah.
There will be no more celebratory gunfire in St. Louis because the legislature passed a law saying you can't do that. You just highlighted that was brilliant, by the way, to highlight that, because it does prove the point that we're talking about, right? You can't, first of all, you can't legislate stupidity, you can't legislate morality, right? And you certainly can't legislate criminal behavior. And go ahead.
No, it doesn't mean they're going to stop. I mean, this is the nonsense behind the same people. Many of the same people want to pass a law that would make it illegal for a teenager to carry a gun through the streets of downtown St. Louis. I'm sorry.
Well, Mark, what they should have done, they didn't have to go through the legislative process. They could have just put a sign up that said no celebratory gunfire.
Well, you're right. inside the city
limits. I hear Kim laughing in the background.
Because it's just funny. It's like, how do you think this is going to be enforced? I mean, we're down, Mark. How many officers? 300-plus police officers in the city of St. Louis. They have bigger fish to fry than running around the city on New Year's Eve trying to catch people who were celebratory gunfire doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's where the signs come in, Kim.
You're right. I can't believe we hadn't thought of the signs. Mark, maybe you and I should go around and put some signs out.
Just put some signs up. Yeah.
Well, you know, all you've got to do when you have a lack of officers on the streets is, I mean, imagine the Walmart, how much safer it would be if they just put a no shoplifting sign up in front of the door. Okay? Do that in front of every retail establishment. Put a no gun sign, no shoplifting sign. You don't need officers because people follow the, if they follow the rules, they follow the signs. You know, guys, it highlights in an absurdly funny way. Really, it's kind of sad to be laughing about this because there are really people out there who believe that.
Well, and it's sad because there are people stupid enough to go fire their gun into the air and think that it's not going to potentially fall and hurt someone. I don't understand. But you can't fix stupid. You can't.
No, it does boggle
stupidity.
The mind. Yeah, that level of stupidity does boggle the mind.
Yeah.
You know, all you've got to do is look back at a lot of liberal progressive policies. Well, let's defund the police and the city will be safer. How does that work? How do you square that? In what planet, does that even come remotely true? Well, it doesn't. Let's open the borders. Why? And now you've got, on a bigger, you know, you could take this to the macro and the micro level, but you go to a guy like Gavin Newsom. I'm not going to go, you know, we're not going to work with Tom Homan. We're not going to work with ICE. We're going to protect our immigrant population, including murderers and thieves, from arrest. We're not going to let them be taken off of our streets so that they can continue to harm our – why? And it does. It boggles the mind. There's no answer to these questions. And when you sit and you think about these things and when you talk about them like you do or I do for a living, it gets kind of difficult because you really don't have an answer and you'd like to have an answer. It is absolutely mind-boggling that there are people that think like this.
Yeah,
but
it really
they do.
Is. You know, I we're talking to Mark Walters. Of course, he runs Armed American Radio and Armed American News. You have a story on there this morning that's pretty frightening about a wrongful ATF raid in Baltimore. What happened up there, Mark?
You know, first of all, let's say this about the ATF. How many times do we have a wrongful ATF raid? Think about this for a second. Okay, how many times has that happened?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's happened a lot.
People dead.
Yeah. And probably not all that. I'm just not that familiar with that many cases of it, but clearly it's happened.
Well, it's happened quite a bit. And, well, I got to go back to what happened in this particular case. You had a guy by the name of Mark Chapa, who was a gun owner. He's a gun collector, a Second Amendment advocate, et cetera. And yet again, we have an ATF. Now, this guy had, I think it was, without looking at the number, I think it was about 70 legally owned guns.
Right.
Stored at his home in Baltimore. And all of his firearms, Lee Williams wrote the article, complied with federal laws. But that doesn't matter to the ATF. I mean, all you got to do is look at what happened at the Little Rock Airport as well. Now, the wife of the Little Rock executive airport director out there is fighting the government to get the guns back that they took after they murdered her husband. Listen to what I'm saying. The ATF comes to his door, kills him, and then takes his guns and won't give them back to his wife, who is now fighting in court to get her property back, his property back, which was all legally purchased because the ATF said they didn't like what he was going to do. So, you know, this thing started around November, and I'll quote from Lee Williams, the morning of the raid started just like any other morning. My wife went downstairs around 4:30 a.m. to make coffee. I was sitting on the side of the bed getting myself together. Mark, there's somebody outside. Imagine hearing this, right?
Wow.
He saw people mulling around in the front yard. Manley grabbed a handgun and looked out the window. He could see ATF agents making tactical movements all over his front yard. I could see agents crouching down with long guns. This is a guy who did nothing but buy 70 guns, own them legally. When the ATF puts you in their crosshairs, this is what they do. It's legal swatting by the ATF. This is an agency that needs to be disbanded. It needs to be defunded.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, Eric Burleson, the congressman from Missouri, is the one that is planning to submit that bill. He's been one of the loudest proponents of trying to either rein in or actually eliminate the ATF. What do we know what they accused this guy of? Why did they raid him to begin with? Was it the wrong house?
I'm not sure. I haven't spoken yet with Lee about this.
Okay.
I'm not sure what they did. But it doesn't matter because whatever they tell us is going to be a lie.
Wow.
That much I can promise you. Whatever comes from the ATF will be a lie. They did the, or what they will do, they will remain silent. This is part of what, you know, you think about conspiracy theory things, right? Drones flying over New Jersey. What does that have to do with the ATF? Government says nothing about it. It allows conspiracies to flourish.
Yes.
ATF walks into this, you know, executive airport director's house, kills him, says nothing about it. No one's been held accountable. We don't know anything. We're not going to get any answers from the ATF on this at all. None. Zero. And it's why people do not trust the government. It's why Second Amendment advocates fight for what they fight for. It's why we fight what we fight for. It's why we don't believe anything that comes from the ATF. And we never will. And it's why we will never trust them until the house is cleaned or the slate is completely wiped clean. It's that simple.
I mean, I know there is a lot of talk about, okay, you know, we have to tear down the Department of Education, for example, or we're talking in this case, the ATF. What are the odds that that actually happened, you think?
Say that one more time, Kim.
What are the odds that it actually happens where they are able to basically deconstruct the ATF as we know it now?
Not good, unfortunately. We could have. Now, see, that's where Gates, as AG, who knows what he would have been able to accomplish. He was on record as saying he wanted to completely disband the ATF altogether. I don't know how that's going to break down. The only thing that I could hope for now would be a level of defunding. Now, the Gun Owners of America had successfully defunded about $125 million from their budget over the in 2024. But their budget's significantly higher than that.
Sure.
Okay. Now, this family, excuse me, was never told in Baltimore why they were targeted. And when the family's never told why they're targeted, I can promise you Mark Cox Radio's not going to find out.
That's right.
I don't care how many phone calls you make, okay? You're not going to get to the bottom of it. And it's an agency, excuse me, that's been able to get away with this for so long, so frequently, that they feel like they're above the law. And
yep.
Again, we're talking about an agency that decides unilaterally to change a regulation without Congress, which has criminal implications and creates new felony charges that can put you in prison for the rest of your life, and Congress had no say.
It's,
and you can take that back on a smaller scale to the bump stock ban, et cetera. But people were being charged with crimes because the ATF just unilaterally said, well, we're going to make that a crime. It doesn't work that way. This is tyranny at its core.
Well, if people want to read more about that story, it's at armedamericannews.org. Of course, you can go to Armed American Radio as well and listen daily. Mark, Happy New Year, my friend. Thanks for all you do.
Oh, Happy New Year, guys. I love you guys. Happy New Year, Kim. Happy New Year, Mark, and Happy New Year, listeners. Hope you're looking forward to a great start to a year.
We are. Yes, sir. January 20th cannot get here fast enough.
I'll be in the air on the way to SHOT Show. I'm going to miss the inauguration, but it's all good.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you next year.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Yep, thank you. We're going to be back with Kim on a whim in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Kim on a whim.
With being New Year's Eve, we have to talk about resolutions. Now, Mark, I don't mean to call you out, but I do recall
yes,
a resolution.
Do.
I do mean to call you out. I'm calling you out right now. Remember that New Year's resolution you made at the beginning of 2024? Could you remind all the people what that was?
I was going to take up guitar playing again and try to kind of get back to where I was a number of years ago.
How did those lessons go?
It didn't.
How'd the first lesson go?
It never happened.
Oh, shoot.
I did talk to my would-be guitar teacher who listens to the show, and he was more than happy to accommodate me. But we do live some distance apart, and it just, I just never got around to doing it. So I just didn't. I mean, it was something I wanted to do, but I didn't get done.
So are you making
are you
renewing that New Year's resolution for 2025?
We'll see. I still wouldn't mind doing it. I mean, I'd love to be able to pick up a guitar and play a song from start to finish and all that good stuff. But it has been a number of years since I did that. So
I found it interesting that this article I found says 3 in 10 Americans report making at least one resolution. I'm not big on these resolutions. Maybe I should be. I mean, whether you want to call it, I think some people might say, well, I don't make resolutions. I make goals. You know,
that's
they want to just call it something different. But a lot of people are not keeping to them. Have you ever heard of Quitter's Day?
I have not. But I'm not surprised that there is one.
It's the second Friday in January is known as Quitter's Day. It's when people are most likely to basically throw in the towel. So 2 weeks into the new year, people are already throwing in the towel. And obviously the big resolutions are going to be something health-related, weight loss, finance, you know, get that in check.
The gymnasiums everywhere will be crowded.
Oh, the people who are regular, the gym rats, the regulars, they hate this time of the year, I've heard, because everyone goes in there with, you know, taking up the machines, acting like they're going to be there every week, and then on Quitter's Day, they're gone.
We hate them, too, because we're half-assers who get in there and just want to look good for a couple of weeks, and then it fades away, so... I'm just kidding.
It's really hard to keep a resolution, which is why I probably tend to not want to make them.
I did work out consistently from like last November, December, January through probably April, and had a little injury I was dealing with in my shoulder, and I never really got back to it, and I'm still dealing with it, and finally got some help. But, you know, that's not a good excuse either, but it did happen, so...
It's hard. Once you stop for a little bit, it makes it really difficult. This article talks about how nearly a month into the new year, the survey found that 13% say they'd not kept any of their resolutions. A month. I think it's more about setting smaller goals that are actually attainable. I think the problem is when you sit there and say, for example, let's say you're consistently late and, you know, you're always kind of disorganized and scrambling at the last minute, and your New Year's resolution is, you know what? Not only am I not going to be late, but I'm going to be early. I'm going to be 15 minutes early everywhere, every time, everywhere I go. That's just not realistic, in my opinion. So I feel like you're setting yourself up for failure when you set the bar too high. I'm not saying don't reach for those bigger goals, but I feel like I listen to people talk about some of these things they want to do, and I'm thinking, you're just setting yourself up for failure. Set small goals that you can actually hit, and then it's a snowball effect. It's kind of like the Dave Ramsey thing, where you pay off your smaller debts, and then you use that money to roll it into the bigger debts, and it just kind of has a life of its own. I think that's kind of the same concept with these goals, resolutions, whatever you want to call them, is don't sit there and say, you know, this year I want to lose 100 pounds. Start small.
Yeah, that's lofty. I want to lose 10 pounds, and then you can be successful and then start eating again as soon as you lose that 10 pounds.
Well, what's really hard is you lose the weight and then you plateau.
Are you going to set any resolutions this year, Kim?
I've thought about it. I know my resolution last year, which I epically failed at, was not scrolling so much. I also want to read more. I do read, like I'll read my Bible and stuff, but I want to actually read more books. My husband's really good at that. He wakes up at like 4:30 or 5 every morning, and he reads for about an hour.
Really?
And works out.
Good for him.
Relatively new that he's been doing this for a couple months now, but it's been a total game changer for him. And I would love, not that I want to wake up any earlier than 3 a.m., but I would love to have that mindset. I would love to do something like that where I'm truly setting aside time to read. It's so easy to want to do something mindless. If you've had a long day, you come home and you're like, I don't really feel like picking up a book. I just want to literally lay there and be entertained. And it's terrible.
How about you, Carl Middleman?
Huh?
What's your resolution?
I don't have one.
Do you ever set them?
No, they're silly.
Why are they silly?
Because when I used to go to the gym, I hated the 2 weeks of... I know Mark just said that. I hated it, and I refused to go to the gym those 2 weeks because it was full of people who didn't know what they were doing and clogging all the good machines, and then you wait till the third week of January, Quitter's Day.
So I get that. Now, I'm not a gym regular, I'll admit, but wouldn't you want to applaud the people who are at least making the effort?
No, because they all quit. And they come and they disrupt, and then they leave.
Bunch of losers.
It's not that they're losers, Mark. It's that they...
Tell us how you really feel, Carl.
They set their goals too high, like you just said, Kim.
I'm going to work out 7 times a week, twice a day, for an hour each.
That's too lofty.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Why don't you if you don't work out at all, maybe shoot for like 2 days a week. I'm going to work out for 30 minutes a day or something like that.
My resolution for 2025 is to help make America great again. And we're going to do that right here on this radio show. Right?
On January 20th.
I'll be at the inauguration on January 20th. With any luck, I'm going to be at one of the presidential balls. Don't know if I'll actually see President Trump or not, but I'm hoping to make it to one of those. It's going to be a good time.
Did you try out your monkey suit?
I have not. I've got to do that this weekend.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm going to have a chance to go to one of the inaugural balls, but it's black tie. You have to wear a tuxedo to go to these. And I do own one that I bought years ago when I was at Channel 4 and emceeing a lot of events and that sort of thing. I just haven't tried it on in a long time, and I don't know what to expect. But it does have one of the adjustable waistbands in it, so that's positive.
Well, there you go.
There you go. We'll see. Might just be so far out of style.
I was going to say, yeah.
It might be so far out of style that I have to go rent one to take with me. I just don't know. We'll see what happens. Coming up, we're going to talk more. I'm hoping to talk more about this fish-free seafood and whether or not it's really a thing. And we'll talk to Brian Westbrook from Coalition Life. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.